Right, I bring greetings from St. Peter's Baptist Church in Worcester, my home and Sarah's home church, and the minister, Martin Hodson. They send their love and great concern for this church here in Evesham. But also I bring a deep apology from Stuart Windsor, my brother and mentor in life. And Stuart, unfortunately, decided to reduce the pace of his work for CSW and stop being the operations director a few years ago to take up a special role of a special ambassador for CSW. And he's not looked back because he hasn't had time to. His workload is just mushroomed, and he now is probably in Scotland. It might be Scotland. It might be Nepal. I don't know where. He might be this morning. But he sends his deep apologies because he was due to come to talk to you. But they found me instead to represent him. And just to explain, I am a CSW church rep at St. Peter's, which means I hold up the activities and the initiatives and the ways of getting people involved in supporting CSW at that church. But I also then act to inform churches around the area about what CSW is doing. And that's the role I come to you today. So, right, I've got to remember to point this. So, CSW, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, it stands up for provision of a voice for the voiceless. We today are privileged to be able to come here and worship without threats. Was sanctioned by the state to believe what we want to believe. This is not the case for over 70% of the world's population this morning. In extreme cases, people are sitting in containers this morning because they chose to become Christians. We, on the other hand, are given freedom to believe in God, or indeed not to believe in God, because of the way our state treats our rights. So I think this is going to be one of the major things I'm going to be talking about, as you would guess, this morning. But it's also worth thinking at all times. We are privileged with the freedoms we are given in this country at the moment. And what I'm going to be talking about is really how can we get involved in becoming a voice for the voiceless. And as we'll see, this is God's big concern for the church today. So, CSW, I'll just flick over to make sure I do keep on track. CSW, Christian Solidarity Worldwide, it's a Christian organisation, and it's working for religious freedom through advocacy and really supporting human rights and establishing the principles in the highest positions around the world with the United Nations, with the UK government, with the American government, with all the places where nations meet and bring together an understanding of what human rights should be granted to citizens around the world. As I say, they've been working in this area for 35 years, and that's actually longer than I've been a Christian. Wrong way. So I've just jumped. So if we look into the reality of the situation for many, many people, many Christians around the world today, it can be seen that there's a worsening situation. The Pew Forum, an American think tank, has estimated that something like 70% of the world's population are in a situation where they are harassed through to threatened with execution, indeed, in some instances, being executed because they've chosen to follow Christ. That is their crime. If we look in some of the worst situations around the world, it goes without saying that horrible things that are happening in North Korea, it is probably the worst place you can be a Christian today. Because it'll often lead to you being in a concentration camp. And it's probably more horrific in some ways than some of the worst nightmares we have about concentration camps. And it's probably not worth sharing those things because they are absolutely horrific. But countries like Eritrea, as I say, there are Christians this morning in stuffy containers held prison as prisoners because they're Christians. In Cuba, many churches are being closed down, many pastors are in prison, and there is a huge fight going on for religious freedom in Cuba. In Indonesia, as we'll see in a second, there's evidence of growing lack of tolerance for Christians. In Nigeria, we already know the stories that are coming out about the activity of the Boko Haram. 2 years ago, I heard from the Archbishop of Jos, Benjamin Kwashi, who'd had 3 attempts on his life by Boko Haram and has seen churches blown up. He's seen his parishioners killed. And this has deteriorated over the last 10 years. 10 years ago, it was a country of great tolerance and great integration. But the forces of wickedness are at work in that nation. And of course, I don't need to talk about the situation in Syria and Iraq with Islamic State. But I should say that it's not only Christians that are being persecuted today. There are situations where Muslims are being persecuted for their faith. And indeed, atheists are being persecuted for their belief system. And the sense is that God believes in justice for all. It's not just for Christians. The sad thing is that Christianity is drawing more persecution. It is prominent in the extent to which Christianity is being suppressed and in many countries trying to be eliminated. So, let's make sure, yes. So CSW is active today in 20 countries. And these are countries where there are extreme levels of persecution being witnessed. They have staff who are in extreme situations of danger. But they use their mandate, Proverbs 31, verse 8, which says, "Speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves." So God has written in that is our duty, that's our obligation to speak up, which is why they're in these countries, and what they're doing, what the local staff are doing and the organisations they work with are doing, is making sure that the research that they uncover points to the truth of what's happening, that they're doing analysis which is not biased towards promoting one cause or another, but it's bringing again through what's actually happening in those countries. They're making sure that they bring the evidence forward in a way that can be exposed and scrutinized in the West to make sure that this is not just seen as another group trying to promote injustice that's being done to them, such that they can go and advocate for the voiceless people that are now being persecuted around the world. They're also then providing training for people locally in these different environments to make sure that they understand how to collect the information, how to represent persecution that's going on in their area. And a key thing that we can all help with, and the key thing that's drawn me to become passionate about CSW, is to show solidarity with the people. Sorry, still get emotional. Images start flicking through my head of the people that I've been praying for and the people in prison around China and other places. Okay, so I should say that the key reason that CSW do these things is so that they become trusted as advisors to governments. So I've spoken about Stuart Windsor, the Reverend Stuart Windsor. That's Stuart. Some say he looks like my older brother, and those that used to be my friends say he looks like my younger brother. What I'd say is Stuart is my dear brother, but he's also my mentor. You know, he's the guy that gives me guidance, spiritual guidance, and encouragement, constant encouragement. And you can ask me in the coffee break afterwards, I believe he knows every persecuted Christian in the world. It's obviously an exaggeration, but there is evidence I've got that he knows many, many of the persecuted around the world. And you can ask me about that over coffee. But this is a picture of Stuart in 2013, representing or presenting information at the United Nations inquiry into North Korea and the atrocities that are happening in North Korea. The reason CSW are asked to present to the United Nations is because in 2007, they created a report that detailed what was happening in North Korea, long before North Korea had become recognized as the hell on earth for many, many Christians and many non-Christians. So they have a state control that is terrifying in its demonic nature. But Stuart was asked to present at the inquiry, and this is really part of the build in guidance and evidence and has led to the general inquiry about North Korea. So it's having huge political implications for North Korea. So if we now look, the chap here in the nice suit, that's Ben Rogers. He's a CSW advocate. He's the East Asia lead for CSW. Previous campaigns he's led are raising the plight in Burma. So CSW published reports long before the world became fully aware of just how terrible the situation was for many people in Burma under the military dictatorship there. So I was encouraged as a Christian to pray for Daw Aung San Suu Kyi when she was imprisoned and to contact her and encourage her, because she stood up peacefully for the rights of people in Burma. And I was really excited when shortly after she was released, she produced a video to start the CSW International Conference 2 years ago, thanking CSW and thanking its supporters for getting involved in raising the rights of people to believe in their chosen God. Okay. But she was so complimentary about CSW in the video. This is Ben with six leaders from Indonesia, all suffering from persecution in Indonesia, meeting Lord Alton, who's a tremendous Christian supporter of CSW at the House of Lords. But this is part of their relationship they've built very, very painstakingly to be trusted as advisors on Burma, on North Korea, and on Indonesia. So, 2013, CSW tried to involve many, many people in Operation 18. And I'll explain Operation 18. As you see there, in the red writing, it says, upholding the right to choose your religion. Operation 18 relates to Article 18 of the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, an article that, as part of the Human Rights Bill, the UK is signed up to. But the sad thing is that many of the nations where persecution is rife in the world are also signed up to the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. So CSW organized a campaign to start to write to the Foreign and Commonwealth Office to make sure that this situation, where many countries are signed up to the Human Rights Bill, are ignoring Article 18, and we're going to look at Article 18 in a second. It's basically something where we can all get involved, and we're going to see the next step on that. So Article 18 basically says, everyone has the right to freedom of thought, conscience and belief, freedom to change their religion or belief, freedom to manifest their religion or belief. So as an example, one of the campaigns, Iran is signed up to this Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And 2 years ago, Pastor Nader Khani was committed to be executed because he was considered an apostate within Iran. He'd been born a Christian. He was a pastor of a Christian church, but he was held and he was given a series of false charges by the court. So a number of people joined a petition that CSW started to raise the awareness of what was going on in Iran for Pastor Nader Khani. Now, Pastor Nader Khani eventually was released. The first place he came on an overseas trip at great personal risk to himself, it had to be done in complete secrecy, was to the CSW International Conference in London. So I was there, and Pastor Nader Khani was brought in to say thank you for the support. But he's still at risk. His defense lawyers have been put in prison subsequently. So it's not, you know, all fixed. Hundreds of Iranian pastors are in prison today in terrible, terrible conditions. So, let's go on. So, this is a picture from this year's international conference where a representative number of the 10,000 Article 18 postcards were handed to Sue Breeze. Sue Breeze is a lovely Christian lady working at the Foreign and Commonwealth Office. At this time, she was working for Baroness Varsi, who was, again, a great supporter of what was being done by CSW. And Sue here spoke of the importance of people contacting their MPs to raise the situation, because it helps the Foreign and Commonwealth Office in advising the foreign minister on things to be raised when they're talking with foreign governments. This is where we can all be a voice for the voiceless. I've brought along with me a set of correspondence from Robin Walker, the Worcester MP. And it concerns some interchange I've had with him about the situation for Gao Zhisheng. Not sure if I can pronounce it properly. Gao is a Christian human rights lawyer who's very recently been released from prison in China. He disappeared into the justice system. Family very concerned. And I'll just read the first paragraph, if you don't mind, to just illustrate how writing to your MP can actually become a way of building relationship with them. Dear Dr. Stansfield, thank you for your recent email in relation to Gao Zhisheng and the international campaign to secure his release. In addition, thank you for your kind words in relation to our previous correspondence over human rights abuses in North Korea. I am always happy to take up your requests, and I share your concerns over Gao Zhisheng. He then goes on to explain exactly what the UK government is doing to raise with the Chinese government the situation for Gao. And as I say, Gao was released recently, but it was after a long, long campaign, and a lot of people praying. And throughout this, the power of prayer cannot be underestimated. So I just encourage you all pleased to recognize that your voice can play a key part in this. So if we move on from Article 18, 2014, CSW have launched a similar campaign called Retune, and it's challenging the voices of religious hatred. Each of you or each family should have a card, either as you came in or you might have been past it since. This is your way of starting to take part in becoming a voice for the voiceless, if you haven't already done so. I would encourage you all, please do sign with your details the card and pass it to me before you leave today. I might return to this theme a bit later on, okay? But what CSW have recognised is a pattern that emerges in different nations. So when extreme violence breaks out, and we're going to look at a few issues in a minute, a few situations, when extreme violence breaks out, that's quite often several years after the first symptoms of breakdown in society starts. And the Retune campaign is about challenging the things that lead to severe examples of persecution. So if we look at this, the cycle they're looking at, and they've recognized, this is by studying all the things that they've looked at and the cases they've been brought into in the different countries around the world. And at the top left, expressions of religious hatred are often the first signals that something is going wrong in the society. So if I think back to Benjamin Kwashi, when Boko Haram moved into Jos in central northern Nigeria, the first thing that happened was they started criticizing the churches. And then we moved to a culture of religious hatred. So they started to spread vitriolic information, and then they started to attack some of the churches in the area. And then they start doing the mass mobilization. So one of the examples we'll look at in a minute is Orissa State in India. And this is exactly the pattern that was followed. So suddenly the Hindu extremists, they've been publishing the terrible things that Christians do, and next minute there's an attack made. We'll look at one of those in a second. And then it's violent attacks, and open hostility breaking out all over the place. So with the Boko Haram, they started blowing churches up. They started shooting people going to the church worship. And then we then find that the other feature of this cycle is the state concerned doesn't bring the culprits to justice. So it encourages that belief, we must be right. The state hasn't come in and taken us off and punished us for what we're doing. So it just continues to fuel that cycle. And that's exactly what CSW have been seeing. So this is a case from Orissa State in India. This is Asmita Digal. Asmita's husband was kidnapped by Hindu extremists and buried alive. His body's not been found, but she was told, your husband's been killed by being buried alive. Now, this was in 2009. She still has been given no recognition that she's a widow, so she has no money, and she's had to survive on the generosity of people around her. The state has not come in and helped her through this situation. People have not been found guilty, so it's just that continuing cycle that's been going on. And there have been earlier examples of outspoken hostility to Christians in the area. If we look at the Joseph Colony in Lahore in Pakistan, a horrific attack in 2013, and the buildings smashed and people killed. But 4 years earlier, there'd been a similar attack, absolutely deadly attack, on Christians in a community at Gyora, near Lahore. Again, nothing was done to find the culprits. So the belief was actually, we're obviously doing things that are considered right by our society. So again, it's the cycle that's going on. And this is a scene that Ben Rogers met when he went into Indonesia. And it was basically, there was uproar in an area in Indonesia because Christian worshippers were not wearing the hijab, the Muslim headdress for women. So when he arrived, there was a riot going on, and they were chanting, Christians, get out. And of course, what they could see was the same cycle starting to emerge in Indonesia, which had been a very tolerant, multi-faith nation. So, this is a quote from Reverend Polti Panjang Choitan. That's one of the problems with CSW. When you support them, you start facing names that you have no idea how to pronounce. I took ages trying to work out how to write to Doang Soo Chi. I still don't know if I've got it right. So anyway, Palsy said, if there is no help from the international community, we will be destroyed. And that's what he could see on the ground, what's happening there. So I just reinforce the message. You can get involved. Use the cards. Sign them. Pass them back to me. What it means is you'll be sent information. This information will also be used to promote the fact that people are concerned about this situation. It'll provide additional support and backup to CSW to get that out there. So, please do sign the Ratune postcard and pass it to me before you go today. I might mention this again. but there are other things. I've brought not enough for everybody, but I've brought some resources. They're just on the left as you leave, which you're free to pick up. And if you need more, please do contact me. So Edward has all my contact details, and I'm very happy to help and coordinate and provide linkage into this. But one of the great pieces, on a daily basis, there's the prayer diary that CSW regularly issue, which talks to various situations, requests prayer for various situations, because without prayer, none of this makes much difference. But the one that I find particularly useful, Connect and Encourage. So I've got about 55 people at St. Peter's Baptist Church who regularly pray for individuals in this book. So there's about 50 people in here. There are nations that need praying for. There are communities that need praying for. It gives you a little of the story of those people, what's happening to them, and what we need to do as individuals. It's called Connect and Encourage because part of it is about writing to these people. And many of the people who've been released from prison will talk about the encouragement and hope that they received because they received a flood of cards. It's the Harry Potter scene where the cards are flooding in. And the number of people who've said that it changed the opinions of people who were running the prison they were in, the prison guards, to know that many people around the world were writing to them to encourage them. And they didn't know what was going on. So again, it talks of the real awareness that was growing that actually these aren't people on their own that we can bully and torture and isolate from support. So I'd highly recommend. I've got about 12 of these at the door there, but do ask for more. As I say, I just use this to encourage people to pray for individuals so that I've got coverage on all the people, all the countries in there, at least one person, sometimes two or three, praying for people in there. Of course, CSW put a lot of people in to places like, they have an office in Washington, D.C., they have an office in Brussels, they have people working at the in various parts of the European Parliament to make sure the story and the facts are expressed. They have continuous contact with the British government, and they also then run the campaigns to involve people and get support. So they, yes, they need funding. So anything that can be given is a great help to them to keep their work going. And my sense is we need to keep this work growing. And of course, they've got all the connection into social media. And please do, where you understand this stuff, take advantage of it. It is helpful. The Pastor Nadakani campaign, that was really fueled through Facebook. And it was one of the first campaigns for them where the social media suddenly made it a global campaign. It really did. You know, there were millions of people getting involved in raising it. And the Iranian government suddenly realized we can't do as we planned, which was to quietly execute him and to sort that problem out. That's another one off our list. I should say that I heard at a CSW conference a Muslim guy who'd become a Christian share how he'd been really irritated by the dreams he was getting that he was meeting Jesus. And he said it was happening every night. And I'd ignored Christianity. I'd heard a few people talking about it and thought, dismiss it, live my life of hedonism. He'd been trained in the West as a surgeon. And he said, I kept getting this vision each night, Jesus. And I was getting angry. I was getting really angry. It was waking me up. And he said, so I decided I was going to say, sure enough, image of Jesus appears. I said to him, if you're real, I want to meet you here in my room on Thursday, 5 days later. He said, I was a little bit surprised when Jesus walked into the room and I met him and he gave me the same story that Paul had been given, but he went on to say that he was talking to the sons and daughters of the leaders of Islam. These are the people he's talking to. And he was full of life. And I will say this. I was not a natural choice to become a CSW church rep. You mentioned persecution. It sounds quite depressing to me. And I'm that kind of fun-loving, you know, more stand-up comedian than I am a sort of serious analytical type. I've got to say that since becoming a CSW church rep and getting to know many of the people that have suffered extreme persecution, I've never met a group more full of life and commitment to Christ. It's transformed my faith. Sorry, I'm getting emotional again. That's the problem with being a, you know, a stand-up comedian. You get emotional. So anyway, I'd like us to pray just as I finish. And let's just bow our heads for a second and I'll read this out. And then I'll finish. Father, we pray for those whose freedom to choose their religion or belief is under threat today. We ask for your protection in the often hostile environments they live in. Please shield them from the violent words or acts of those who oppose them. When they are fearful, may they know the comfort and peace of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I will just put a final slide up. That was it. Okay, I don't know if I mentioned it before, but please do sign the retune card and make sure you pass them to me before you leave. And a final statement, Stuart Windsor is just an incredible guy. And 2 years ago, he wrote a book, or he had a book written for him, which was almost an autobiography. It reads a little bit like a James Bond story, so I was reading it on the way to a CSW conference. It's called God's Adventurer, the book. It's an absolutely brilliant, captivating book because it describes his life having become a Christian and the string of miracles that he'd encompassed, which often followed prayer. In fact, he talks about it. The prayer led, and then the miracle happens. And it's a string of them. It's points where people from CSW, Baroness Cox, who is the voice of CSW, and the string of miracles. And in fact, at the end of it, Stuart says, at CSW, we don't believe in miracles. We depend on them. And that's the truth. You know, they really depend on miracles. They've had to, because there have been times when they wouldn't be alive today. And I just encourage you all, please do pray for CSW and their staff and the organizations they work with around the world in some of the most nightmarish environments. And please do what you can to support, even if it's just praying for individuals or if it's writing to your local MP. Very often CSW provide you a basic template that allows you to write, or as I've done quite regularly in the past, writing to the Minister of Justice of Iran. And you start to realize if you talk to people as human beings, it has an impact. If you talk to them with love, not with condemnation. I was so heartened. I went to see two Iranian ex-prisoners, Miriam and Marzia, talk in Cheltenham recently. They'd spent a year in Evin prison in Tehran. And they spoke about how their time in prison gave them the opportunity to speak to the prison ward, you know, the prison guards, to speak to their torturer, and to speak to the prison governor. And Marzia explained, she was brought in by the torturer one day and told, I'm really annoyed with you. You've been talking to the other prisoners about this God you believe in. And she said, yes, that's your fault. You brought me in here. So naturally, they're asking me why I'm in here, and I'm telling them. Their crime was they'd circulated 20,000 Bibles in Tehran, the two of them, because they became Christians when they were 17 and seeking God, and they had no response from Allah. And then they were introduced to Jesus Christ. And as they both said, lives transformed.